And here we are back for hour number two on this Valentine's Day 2019. 14 minutes past the hour, joined in studio by 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. And do want to remind everybody on Friday, March the 1st, what is that? 2 weeks from today, 14 days away, we will be in Toledo, Ohio at Tony Paco's, the most famous hot dog place, restaurant in the world. And on that day, Mary Ellen will be signing a hot dog bun, which is the tradition there. Nancy Reagan's there, Burt Reynolds, Mr. T, and a whole host of other people. And that signing and presentation will happen during our live broadcast. Charlie Evers will be along with us, Terry Tackett, Sean Kraft, and Mike Wilson will also be coming with us. So Friday, March the 1st, 2019, which is the 25th anniversary of Mary Ellen being sworn in as 40th Treasurer of the United States. What was that day like, March 1st, 1994?
Well, it was starting to storm in Washington. by the time I was sworn in, the snow was getting deeper, and people were getting worried about going home. we had this room in the Washington Hotel across the street up on the top floor so everybody could look around Washington, and you couldn't see anything because it was a blizzard. But it was an exciting day. My whole family was there, and we had the biggest, they said the biggest crowd since Grant's swearing in. I don't know about that, but that's what they said.
It was a full room.
Yeah.
I remember, I didn't make it there, but I do remember it was a packed room.
It was. They had put chairs in, and then they took the chairs out because they didn't have room for the chairs. and people were standing out in the hall, and they were standing everywhere.
What, that happened around 11 or 12 o'clock in the afternoon, wasn't it?
I was trying to remember if it was 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock. It was one or the other, yeah.
What was that morning like for you, getting ready for that?
Well, it was. I was nervous as heck, you know, how nervous you can be. And I was so grateful when it was over because I thought, well, now nobody can take it away from me.
That's right. What did you do that evening when the ceremony
was
over?
Oh, I went to the this big deal at the post office celebration. Norman and I and my daughter Leslie, it was in Crystal City, and I was supposed to meet with some people out there, and I did. And then coming home, we got on the metro and we got lost, and we ended up walking along the side of the metro in an awful situation. I thought we were in a bad section, but anyway, we finally made it back home. And I was living at this hotel. I said when I signed into the hotel, they wanted my home address, and I didn't have one.
Vice President Gore swore you in.
Yes.
Yeah.
We asked him, and you had to alert Lloyd Benson that Al Gore was going to do it because it's Lloyd Benson's office. And, they were both great.
You gave Lloyd and Vice President Gore Buckeye sweatshirts.
Yes.
How did that idea come about?
Well, the gal that worked for me, her friend worked for Ohio State, and she said, well, why don't you give them Ohio State shirts? I said, well, sure. And then they were going to give the other three guys, Marshall Bennett, who was president of the State Treasurers Association, and Congressman, what was his name? He's dead now. He spoke. We were going to give them Ohio State ties, and somehow I never got the ties, so it was just the shirts for Al Gore and Lloyd Benson.
When was it announced publicly that you were going to be taking that position?
I don't know. They had a party for me at the country club, and it's still I didn't know for sure if I was going to get it. I said, you know, I don't know about this. I said, they said, oh, you will. And then, you know, so they wanted to have a party, so we had a big party. And it was a telephone call, and it was while I was at work as state treasurer, the call came in from the head of the Democratic Party, and he said that Lloyd Benson was going to call me at, I forget what time, that same day, and that I couldn't tell anybody. And I still had to be investigated by the FBI and go through all that. Yeah, I remember riding home with the guy that drove me, and I didn't tell him, and I told Norman, and that was, and my family. That was about it, you know.
When did it first come about that you were in contention for this position?
Well, I was called. It was right after the election when President Clinton won. I was called by the women executives in state government. They wanted to know if I was interested in a position. And I said, yes. I said, I'd like to be U.S. Treasurer. And then I was called by the head of the Democratic Party, too. I told him, and there was a lot of people after the job, and I talked to John Glenn, I talked to Howard Metzenbaum, I told him I was after this job. And then somebody said, well, it's a Hispanic position. They always put a Hispanic in there. And so I remember I was at an event where the top Hispanic person was there. And so I went up to him and I asked him, I said, are you trying to have a person in the treasurer's position? He said, no. And I was waiting there. It was between two people. The a woman that had run for Congress from Colorado. And she and I were the last two people being considered. And that went on all summer in 93. And it wasn't until November 22nd that they called me and said that I had the job. Mm. Yeah, so...
Was that, how big a day was that for you?
It was a big day, I'll tell you. And I couldn't tell anybody.
How long did that last?
Well, I didn't. It wasn't until, I remember, you know, I was still giving speeches everywhere. And I remember I gave a speech. It was at a women's group in Bucyrus, and they wanted to know who else was being considered for the job. And I said, nobody. So, that, I mean, you know, you tell the truth. And I can't remember exactly. But they called me on November 22nd and said I had the job. So,
what is the time like? You were state treasurer at the time here in Ohio, mm-hmm. living in Ohio. You have to totally change residence and everything.
Yeah. We decided to buy a house. We bought a house in Bethesda. It was a smart move because I made money on it. And you don't know how long you're going to be there, you know. And my daughter moved into the house where we lived, and we thought we would probably come back there after I was finished. But after we were done in Washington, we weren't able to keep up with that house and the yard and everything, so we went directly to Primrose.
The years from 2001, when you left office, till you came back to Marion, which I think was 2012?
2011.
2011?
Yeah.
10 years. What were you doing in that 10-year period?
I was doing a lot of things there where I lived. I was I was starting a flower bed.
Oh.
I was trimming the shrubs. We had all these azaleas all around the house. It was gorgeous there. And I was doing all the things that I didn't do while I was in office. And Norman was fascinated with the watch clubs that he belonged to. And our family liked to come and visit. So that's sort of what was going on.
When you leave office and have such a great run as you did, it was an interesting time in the government. There was a surplus left. Bill Clinton left, a very popular president. That was an interesting election in 2000 that put George W. Bush in. And what kind of offers came your way when you were out of office?
Well, I was still being asked to speak everywhere, and I didn't have a secretary, and it was getting up mail, a lot of mail yet. And I was depressed because Al Gore didn't make it. I even went to a grief situation where they had a, you know, for people that had lost somebody. They said, why don't you go to that? So I went, and I thought, geez, I shouldn't be here. But I was so depressed, and I was trying to get over that, and I don't know. It was kind of a sad time for me. And so then I had my hip operated on that I had been in bad shape. And so that made life better. Yeah.
What turned it around? Was there a point when you finally did get over that election?
No, it was gradual. I don't know that there was any particular point. It just gradually got over the depression of it. I felt that the Supreme Court was totally at fault because, you know, they're not supposed to be political, and they were very political.
For people listening who maybe don't remember this, I can't imagine it's been 18 years ago now. Mm-hmm. That's unbelievable to me. But if you didn't live through the 2000 election, just a recap, Al Gore was the vice president. He was running for president as the Democrat. George W. Bush was the Republican. And it was the only time, I think, in history that when election night was over, we didn't know who had won because the votes in Florida, there was all kind, you can read about it, a big mess. And we did not find out until about 20 days later when the Supreme Court ruled to stop the vote count in Florida, which swung it to George W. Bush. And Mary Ellen's a part of this history because Al Gore had already asked you to stay on. So on election night, well, let's start there. Where were you on election night when this mess started?
I was at home. Yeah, we didn't go anywhere.
While you were watching that flip back and forth.
Oh, yeah, we were really going through it. And yeah, my family was calling and I was talking to them. And then it went on. I mean, you know, it, and finally then at work they said, you know, we had to be out of there on by the 19th. And I couldn't get a truck to get my things on that day. So the Secret Service said they'd look out for it. So nothing happened to my things until I could get it. And I had a lot of stuff. I mean, you know, you can't imagine. You get a lot of things in 7 years in a location.
Where were you when the Supreme Court made that decision?
I was at home, I think, if I remember correctly. Yeah, I was very upset with the Supreme Court.
Did you ever speak to Al Gore after that?
Well, no, I didn't see him after that. I had just wrote him a note saying, hang in there. And then, boom, he gave up. And So that's kind of the way it was.
What were, you were treasurer under President Clinton. Mm-hmm. What were your interactions with President Clinton?
Well, you would see him, probably about every 2 weeks at some event or other, you know, the different things that would cross both of us. And, you'd see him, and I'd say how happy I was having my job.
You know, everybody says nobody dislikes him.
No, he's got such a wonderful personality. And, you know, I told you I saw him at the last right before the last election, and he was so nice. And he said, "Are you really okay?" You know, I mean, it was really good to see him.
He was campaigning in Delaware.
Yeah.
How did that all, I don't think we've ever talked about, I remember you said you had got to see him again.
Yeah, I got to talk to him a little bit afterwards, and my daughter was so excited, she forgot to take pictures.
how did he feel, because this was about 10 days before the election.
Yeah, it was right before, yeah.
How did he feel about Hillary's chances?
He didn't say. I just told him, I said, "I'm really proud of Hillary," and then he was wanting to know how I was, and he was talking about, he gave a really good speech, and so did Dick Celeste. I got to see him too, and it was great seeing him too. They are very alike.
Really?
Yes. They have very similar personalities. Yeah.
Why do you think John Glenn never made it? I mean, you would think it would have been custom made mm-hmm. for him. Mm-hmm. Astronaut, mm-hmm. Ohio, which is a swing state, we think of it that way.
Yeah.
But he never could get out of the primary season.
No. I don't know. It's rough. I mean, can you imagine what it's going to be like with all of the people now? I don't know what's going to happen, because somebody has to catch on, and it's going to be the person that you think can beat Trump, that it's going to be the one, you know.
Is it better to go with somebody who is not well known, who might have skeletons in their closet, or somebody who is very well known, who... I don't think you could say anything more mean about Hillary than the media has already done.
Yeah,
so her skeleton, and I think Joe Biden, I think we're aware of his foibles over the years.
Yeah.
But these new people, who knows?
Yeah.
What do you make of the situation in Louisiana?
What situation?
Or not Louisiana, the blackface.
Oh, my, in Virginia.
Virginia.
Oh, my gosh, yes. That he's hanging in there, and it's been, and of course his lieutenant governor is probably gonna go, but he's hanging in there. And the attorney general, I think, is hanging in there. And you know, I can't understand why. I think that is such a stupid thing to do, even back then. Why would you do that? And why would you let them put it in your yearbook, on your page?
Yeah, it's,
I thought that was so silly.
I still don't understand how on Friday night he said it was him.
Yeah.
And then he said it wasn't.
Right.
Now, I still don't know if it's him or not.
No. And, you know, I don't know about him. I just know. I don't know.
I think you'd remember if you did that.
I think you would, too. That's a good point.
I think you'd. I think he knows.
Yeah.
I think he knows what if it is or not. But, you know, people say that's generational. But I don't know that it is.
It ought to be out of their system by now.
I would think.
They're never going to get over it.
Well, you're the example. I mean, you are somebody who served locally, state, national. There was never a scandal. Certainly nothing.
Mm-mm. No.
Now, what do you attribute that to? Because we've talked, you said when you were younger, you really had no ambition to get into politics.
No.
So were you just clean living, good parents.
Yeah, that's yeah. right.
It had to be something.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't that I was perfect, because I certainly wasn't perfect. We all know that. But, you know, I never, there was nothing that drew attention to me that would have caused a problem. You know, I did a lot of community work for everything. I was involved in everything. In fact, I remember showing when I was running for county treasurer, I had this postcard listed all the things I belonged to. And she looked at it and she said, "I don't know how you got time to be county treasurer." But anyway.
That's a good line. That's a good line.
Yeah. I thought, well, I didn't think about that, you know. It's so interesting when you run for office, the people's reaction to you. The hardest part was running against Democrats when I was state treasurer. Running against Democrats was not anything I wanted to do. And I said, it's like running against your own, you know. And
it's fascinating to me because Elgin School Board, I believe, was in 69.
Yeah.
69. And by 94, less than 30 years, you were treasurer of the United States. So there were people in that, there might be people alive now who voted for you for Elgin School Board, first woman.
Yeah.
Who were there to see you become I can't imagine what those people in Elgin must have thought.
Yeah.
How do you, is it luck? Is it hard work? Is it, what is it? That's a quick time frame.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, I think back and I don't know how I did it. There was times I thought I was done for, you know, many times I thought I would go home and shake. I was afraid, you know. It's hard running for office. Anybody that's done it knows what I'm talking about.
Running for school board, I don't know that people would say that's very political. Certainly not.
Well, but it is.
It is, really?
Yeah.
Even in those days, it was.
Well, people know what your politics are.
What was your issue that got you involved in the Elgin School Board?
There should be a woman on the school board.
That was it?
Yeah, and the people gave it to me. I started going door to door, and everybody would say, well, there should be a woman on the school board. And see?
Yeah, now, think of the times. I mean, that's, and now here all these women are running for president.
Right.
It's funny because at that time, and even when I was younger, most of the teachers were women.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yet they weren't represented on the school board.
Oh, no, no.
Why do you think that was? Even that late in the game, 69.
Well, you know, when they asked me to run, I really went through a lot of thinking about it. And every time a man would get in the race, I'd get nervous. And Norman would say, "You think you can't beat them?" And he'd keep me going. It was hard to meet people. I mean, you had to, you know, at the county fair, you had to just go up to people and shake hands. It was hard to do that for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you a shy person?
Well, I was, I guess, just kind of normal, you know. And I got used to it, and I do it very well now, you know.
You know, I was just thinking about this. We're having the big event at Tony Paco's on March the 1st because it's the 25th anniversary of you being sworn in as national treasurer. But it just dawned on me, this is the 50th anniversary of you getting Elgin School Board, 69 to 2019.
Oh, yeah.
50 years.
How about that?
It never dawned on me.
I remember going around in a restaurant in Toledo when I was running for state treasurer, one of my terms, and probably was the last term. And everybody was from Michigan. And I said, well, maybe I'll run for U.S. Treasurer sometime, not having any idea. That was my answer to him.
Well, they caught up with that a few years later. Does it seem like 50 years?
It seems like a long time.
Really?
It seems like a long time. Yeah.
Do you have anything left from that period of your life, the school board period? Did you keep anything?
Well, I've got, let me see. I didn't have bumper stickers. It was clerk of courts. I've still got that bumper sticker. Somebody brought it in the other day. It's not in very good shape. But I passed out. I passed out the schedules for the football games for the different schools. And this friend of mine, he offered to do this, and he was giving everybody the wrong schedules. he was getting a hold of the wrong schools when he And I thought, well, I don't know, this is not working too well. But people are anxious to help you, and that's what's nice. You know, and when I was running for state treasurer, they would walk and campaign for me, and then they said they'd walk farther because they really wanted me to win. And you know, you think about that and what people will do, and it really makes you very grateful.
From the end of your schooling until the time you became on the Elgin School Board, what was that period of your life like?
Well, I was having children and raising children, and I was doing a lot of community work,
Who instilled that in you, that community service?
I don't know. I just liked doing it,
And when you think about that football schedule thing, there is some savvy to that.
Uh-huh.
And were you always thinking about it in that way, that I want to win? I want to get this done.
Oh, absolutely. And, you sure as heck don't get into it to lose. You know, I made up my mind I'm going to win. And I was the only one that went door to door. Men didn't do that.
How did they treat you when you were on school board?
They respected me.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Women were a little jealous, I could tell. Yeah.
When it comes, because I think to this day it is still this way, were you cognizant of appearance? Women, it's different.
I was very cognizant of it, and I kept working with my appearance. When I went to Washington, I had to, each step you had to upgrade it. And you had to look good, and I don't think I always did. I remember I had on a brown sweater one day, and this woman said, "You don't want to wear brown." And I said, "You know, you're right." But, they really, it's very important what you wear as a woman. Men can just wear a suit and they look good, but you've got to pay attention. You've got to wear things that don't wrinkle. And I got better at it as I went along.
This will seem silly, but I think it's very prescient at this time because there are more women running locally, statewide, nationally, and you certainly did all those things. What was your, I guess lack of a better term, what was your rule for how you should look when you went out in public as a woman? What's a good rule for somebody?
Well, you wanted to look as good as you could. Now, when I was in a grocery store or somewhere in Bethesda, they didn't know me. But here in Marion, everybody, at that point, everybody knew me. And you wanted to make sure you didn't look, real like you didn't bother with getting fixed up to go out. You put makeup on and you tried to look good. Yeah.
Did you ever, because there are all those times when we forget milk and have to run to the market and, you know, something quick and you don't want to get all put together to do that. Was there ever a time that somebody, because I've had this happen on a local level.
We all have.
Mine is, nobody pays attention when I you know, wear a sports coat or something anywhere, but I live next door to a market, pretty close to it. And one night I'd had a cold and I just wanted to go get some cold medicine. It was late.
Yeah.
And I thought I can get in and out of here. And I was checking out and on the cold medicine, it cards you now. Like if you buy NyQuil or DayQuil, it's like liquor now or something.
Oh, really?
I guess. Oh. So the buzzer goes off and the lady comes over because I was doing the self-checkout. And of course, she knew I was 18, so she's just typing in the thing, but I had to talk to her, tell her what I... And the lady, aren't you on the radio? And here, cold and everything. Oh. And I've, you know, but I didn't get, you know, it was, I don't want to repeat what I was dressed like that night, but it was one of those times where I thought, I'll slide by, nobody cares, but they do.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah, they do.
Do you ever have any of those moments that come to your mind?
Yeah, well, I was on a plane coming back from Thailand. And I was sick as a dog. I was so sick. They told me not to fly home, but I did anyway. And I'm on the plane, and the stewardess comes up, and she said, are you all right? I said, no, I'm terribly sick. And then in a little bit, I looked around. I didn't have a soul around me. I thought I could use this some other time. Get rid of all the people around me.
That'll work it out. If it's contagious, we'll go away. Yeah, yeah. What... Signing, being in the Guinness Book of World Records, signing more currency, what is the oddest thing somebody has asked you to sign or the oddest situation you've been in where somebody stopped you and said, can you sign this?
Well, I had some jokes about when I was at a swim pool one day. Yeah, I've signed a lot of things, and hats and things, and I can't remember anything that unusual.
Is there something you wouldn't sign?
Well, I really didn't like signing money that didn't have my name on it, you know, but I have signed a little bit of that lately. I think what does it matter at this point?
Well, I think at this point, when you came back to Marion in 2011, I mean, it's without question, you are the most well-known person living in Marion. There's no doubt about that at this point. Do people stop you?
Yeah, they not so much now, but gosh, after when I first came back, everywhere I went, going through the grocery store took a while, and Myers, I'd go out to Myers, and you couldn't get out of there, and it took a while to get out of there.
When you first came back, not too long, it may have been recently, matter of fact, maybe the last few years, you came into the grocery store, and I had seen you, and we had talked a little bit, we always talk, and you had left, and I noticed while you were there and we were talking, I could see that there was a group of people, cashiers and younger baggers, and they were all over here, and we had our conversation, and you left, and they said, that was Mary Ellen Withrow. And I said, yeah. And she said, you know her? And I said, well, yeah. She said, she comes to the grocery store? They it's a weird thing.
Yeah,
people think that people are on a different planet or something.
They all know me now. I'm in there all the time.
You're a regular shopper.
Are you still in there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be there tonight.
Oh, this is Thursday?
Thursday night.
Is it Thursday nights when you're there? Or?
Wednesday and Thursday, usually.
Oh, yeah.
It's
fun.
I like to talk to people.
I know. That's what I missed, was talking to people.
Yeah. And I tell you, you learn some things.
Yes, you do.
It's funny. People who don't know you will tell you all kinds of stuff about themselves.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. If you're a good listener.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because you can tell when somebody's having a bad day.
Yeah.
You say, oh, how's things going? And then it comes out.
Yeah.
If they have a big order, you can get it out usually before it's over.
Yeah.
It's interesting, the conversation we're having, because your family, you have a big family. Yeah. Linda's been in here talking about the event at the Women's Club.
Oh, yeah.
You'll be there, told me.
Yeah, I'm going. Uh-huh.
Now, are you excited about that? That seems like fun.
You know what I want? I'm anxious to see the dancing. And Lowell Thurston and Scott Schertzer are going to be dancing.
I did not ask Linda this. I didn't want to put her on the spot. But did they ask you to dance?
No.
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 Would you do it?
I think I would if they asked me to. Well, they didn't ask me to.
If they continue this. Now, see, I would come.
To see me dance?
Yes. Are you a good dancer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am, but I'm not as swift as I used to be. Norman and I, we're good dancers, but he can't hardly walk now. And, we tried to dance a couple years ago at Primrose. They had on one of the songs that we liked, and we got up and danced, and then it was on Facebook. And,
oh, really? See, you never know now.
No.
Are you glad that you were in that national office before everybody had a telephone and can take a picture of you?
Yes, yeah. Uh-huh.
That's horrible.
Yeah. They do that all the time now, yeah.
It's a very strange thing. Wanted to talk a little bit about that. You've been married how long now?
70 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, 70. Yeah, it's 70 and a half now.
And he is a great guy.
Yeah, he is.
Nicest man. And it sounds like he was always very encouraging with what you did.
Yeah, he was. You could not do it if your husband wasn't encouraging. I think that is the most important thing for a woman running for office. If her husband isn't in favor of it, it's going to be really rough.
And Norman was a great golfer.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember people telling stories about that.
He was really good. And we've got this big bunch of trophies in the garage that I don't know what to do with. Yeah.
I remember when you first came back to Marion, you have a lot of stuff. Anytime you move, you have a lot of stuff.
Oh, yes.
Have you been able to go through any of that since you've been?
Well, I'm working on it constantly, and I'm trying to keep the debris at a minimum. And it's hard. You know, you're downsizing and you're downsizing and you're downsizing. And he doesn't want me to get rid of any of his things. And then we've got all these tapes. We don't have anything to play them on.
Oh, like VHS?
Yeah. We've got tapes of all our trips and speeches and stuff. I'm afraid to throw those away.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
No.
Were you cognizant when you were doing it about getting tapes and pictures?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah, I was. There's some things that I really wish, I don't think I can get them, but my first tapes when I ran for state treasurer, I'd sure like to have those. I only had one ad, so there was no more, just one.
You know, your name has always carried weight, though. I remember after you left, were out of treasurer, United States, you did the commercials here in Ohio for the casinos.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that was a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
You felt strongly about that.
Yes, I did. And a lot of my friends didn't.
But you know what? Everybody now is fine with it.
Yeah.
I don't hear a whole lot of complaints about
it. No.
It didn't turn into this big mess.
In fact, I wish I was there. I've been to the Columbus and the Cleveland. I haven't. Oh, we could go to the Toledo Casino.
Right, right up there.
Yeah, and I haven't been to the Cincinnati one. Yeah.
We'll be right up on the Maumee River
right
up there.
You know, they had a lot of good things going on in Toledo. When I was state treasurer, I'm trying to think of, there was a name for it, and it was along the river. It had a name, and it all went by the wayside. Yeah.
You know, knowing you for a long period of time now, I remember, I think you were still in Bethesda, and I won't say his name, because I don't think he's in office anymore, but I remember you did an ad, and you said, shame on you,
yeah,
about
right.
this person.
Yeah, I know that. You said you were surprised at that.
Well, I'd known you, we had talked, we had been friendly as we are now, and I remember I was at home, and you know, anytime you were doing something, I watched. I liked the casino commercials, and I heard your voice come on, and I heard a voice say, 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow, in support of, I don't think that person won, unfortunately, but you were in support of them. And I came in real quick, and I heard you say, and shame on you, to this person. And I thought, ooh,
yeah.
That was a hefty ad.
It was, yeah.
Did you come up with that, or did some? They came
no,
up with
they,
that.
They came up with it. I did it, and it was somebody I disliked a lot.
I remember mentioning his name before I knew that you had disliked him that much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
But in any event, it was a powerful ad.
Yeah. You think?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think the best thing about ads are if you can remember a line, and that I remember that.
Right.
This many years later.
Well, I think my first ad was really good, too, because at the end I said, I really want the job. And people remember that.
Didn't you do one where you were with your family?
No.
No?
I never used my family.
What? Who am I thinking? I remember somebody did one with their family. Mm-hmm. And I remember I thought that was effective to the degree that I think they were losing. When they ran that ad.
Uh-huh.
What was the first ad you ran?
I was sitting on a stool. I talked about linked deposits.
Oh.
The main part of it was linked deposits. We did 36 takes.
Mm.
They wouldn't let me have notes or anything. And I started out, I couldn't, and it went blank. And then I ended up, they took 12, number 12. But I remember, who was the guy that was in charge of that? He was big deal in Ohio. He helped me a lot. I will never forget that. I mean, it was so hard on me. I can't tell you how hard it was. Yeah.
You know, things that are prepared, I think sometimes when they're over-prepared by somebody, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard.
There was quite a bit. I mean, I think it was a minute. And I couldn't, you know, if I'd have had it in front of me, it would have been so easy. He said, you don't want to do that. It doesn't sound natural. And so anyway, that's the way it was. But
those things, you gave so many speeches. What is there anything fun, funny, something you remember that maybe you weren't so fantastically pleased with in any of the speeches you gave?
Mm. Well, yeah, there was a lot of speeches I felt I could have done a better job. And in fact, some of them I thought I did a pretty good job, and then I listened to them later on, I thought, gee whiz, I could have done better than that, you know. But as you grow with it. Those first speeches I gave when I was running for school board, I'm sure were pathetic as all get out. And you get so, and after you give a speech for a while, certain things click. You can tell what clicks with your audience. And I remember when I was running for county treasurer, I said, you shouldn't have to be rich to run for public office. And people liked that, you know.
That's good. And,
yeah. And I had certain little things that I would say like that I really liked. And And then, of course, I was the only woman running for state treasurer, which made you stand out. They all thought, they didn't think I was going to win, none of them. They all thought they were going to beat me. Yeah.
Showed them.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's right.
I was just thinking, it's a little ways off, but the last seminal birthday you had a great party here in Marion.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. Next year will be a big year. Is there anything you want to do next year to mark that birthday, that milestone?
I don't know.
That's a 40th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be a nice one.
Yeah. I don't know.
This always sticks with me. One of the things you said that I always found fascinating is you said they always printed your age.
Yes, they did. Always.
I don't know.
They still do. They don't do other people's. They do mine.
I don't know what that...
Why is it?
I don't know.
Well, I asked people. I said, look at that. I said, was my age in there? And they said, yes. I said, every time... The age is in there.
You know, I think that must be filler. I think they must just...
Why would you use that for filler?
I never worked in print media, but I think sometimes they have to fill... Because sometimes I wonder some of the things... And I'm not talking necessarily about the Star here in Marion, but I read articles in the newspapers, and I wonder why they put... It looks like they just pulled it out of the sky.
Yeah.
And I think they, on radio, we don't have to do that because we can talk.
Yeah.
But I think that's their problem. And age, for some reason, is something they like to put in there. Go figure.
Yeah, but they don't do other people's. I mean, I could show you all these comparisons of articles that are in the paper along with mine. Nobody's age is in there but mine. And you tell me why.
Do they ask when they come to do the
articles? No, they just put it in. They look it up and put it in.
Oh, my. You know, that's a funny thing about journalism.
Yeah.
People are funny. People are different. Last question about this. Boy, I tell you, 2 hours flies right by.
Oh, it does.
It's always fun. When you look back, was there anything that you would have done differently? Not necessarily a regret, but something you would have done differently. Was there anything in your entire life?
Oh, there's a few things. Yeah. I don't want to go into them.
That's okay. That's okay. But we're going to have a lot of fun because we're going to be together again in just 2 weeks.
Yeah.
2 weeks
okay.
from tomorrow.
All right.
Tony Pacos, March the 1st, 2019, the 25th anniversary of Mary Ellen being sworn in as Treasurer of the United States. Charlie, Mike Wilson, Terry Tackett, and myself will be up there 11:15 until 3 p.m. Tony Pacos, Toledo, right on Lake Maumee. And we have had some questions about people wanting to know the address. It's 1902 Front Street, Toledo, Ohio. Restaurant opens at 10:30 on Friday morning. Mary Ellen, it's always a pleasure.
Hey, it is. That's right.
And stay tuned to WWGH Radio for more programming. Talk with you tomorrow.
Everything gets the ball and Marion and Cleveland, everything. Stop getting me laughing, it's too early.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio. Streaming live.